Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, a Republican who represents New York's 131st District, including all of Ontario and parts of Seneca County. Leader Kolb, good to have you back. It's always wonderful when you participate. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Alan, and happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
That's right. So, Brian, if I may call you that, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it's like to be a Republican in New York State, to defend the indefensible, Trump, and to know that your numbers, not only in the Assembly, where you are, but in the Senate, are down, way down. Is this going to be a blue state forever?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you know, obviously the political registration are more Democrats than Republicans, but I think ultimately, eventually, especially if the Democrats still focusing on over-the-top liberal policies, I think that the pendulum will swing back, especially in Long Island and upstate. New York City is New York City. And never forget, Alan, that especially in the Assembly, the Assembly districts are drawn by the in redistricting or have been done by the Democrats. In the last
right.
go around, they took six seats from us just on a pure stroke of the pen, not competitive elections.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, even this last cycle, we actually picked up two seats. We had the best night of the Republicans in the state, so we actually increased our members. I know we're still in the minority, and the Democrats are still have a supermajority right now, but we still we brought nine new members in. We won five open seats, and then we took four seats back from the Democrats, and they took two of ours, so we had a net gain of two. So I think that that definitely shows that we can be competitive if we have resources and have good candidates.
Well, you know, just to be argumentative, and you know, Brian, that's not like me at all. Just to be argumentative, it's certainly so that the Democrats create districts in their own image, and that's disgusting. I agree, whether it's done by the New York State Senate, which stayed Republican all these years by gerrymandering, or by the Assembly, and I've always said so. Nevertheless, it is also possible, as you say, that it's a blue state in terms of the numbers. So you can't always say that they're doing so well because of the gerrymander. We could certainly say that about the New York State Senate until this year.
Well, I think you could say it about the Assembly for sure. And that's why I say if you're talking a difference of, you know, five, six seats as a minimum that and that was just on this past redistricting cycle versus the one before where they took away, I think it was either three or four seats. I mean, it makes a difference. Instead of being at 43 seats, which we're at now, we could be at 51 or 52 or 53. And that changes, even though we're still in the minority, the dynamics of the place changes significantly. It has a different balance of number of members on each committee. The sure. Assembly majority then has a harder time hiding their marginal members and their upstate members from the downstate policies. So it does make a difference even without being in the for us to be in the majority. And that's I know that's a little bit inside baseball for your viewers, but that's the reality of what happens when you start showing up and voting, whether it's in committee or on the floor.
Okay, Leader Kolb, let me ask you this, because it sounded a little to me like you were casting aspersions on the good people of New York City for being Democrats?
Oh, of course not. We love Democrats. I have Democrats in my district. I have Democrats that support me, and I've got family members that are Democrats. So it has nothing to do with being a Democrat. It has everything to do with what is construed as the type of policies that we, quite frankly, are an opposite the ends of the spectrum, not on all, but on some, especially as it pertains to New York City interests Long Island interests, the metropolitan region, the MTA region versus the rest of the state. And quite frankly, you know, the rest of the state is as important to the health of our state as New York City or Long Island is. So it's really having differences of opinion about what makes good public policy for the entire state and not pitting one region, you know, against the other.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because at least one of your members has raised the specter of dividing New York State, one state now, into two states, or maybe three. What do you think of that?
Well, first, you know, I had that question on another radio show this morning, and I said, it's not going to happen. But for people in upstate,
yeah.
I will tell you that, you know, it's almost like, a dream scenario where we can have our own sort of identity separate from the influence of New York City. And even if you look at all of the different things that New York City need, they need money for subways. Well, we need money for roads and bridges. Certainly, we have a lot more people upstate that believe in the Second Amendment and are legitimate law-abiding gun owners. New York City is the opposite mindset on that. Certainly, the expansion of late-term abortion may be a good idea in New York City for some. It's not upstate based on the Democrats and Republicans. So there are philosophical and meaningful differences of what we should be doing or not doing as a state. But when you have number of legislators that total number of legislators in the Senate and the Assembly that are all Democrat that come from New York City and the urban areas of Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, you have urban centric policies and thinking, which are much more liberal than the rest of the state. And I think that's where you get the push for people wanting to have a separate state, because we just don't think alike on some very critical issues.
But as you say, it ain't going to happen, and I certainly agree with that. But now let me ask you this. New York City is growing and growing and growing, right? What about that? In other words, upstate New York is relatively losing people, so your hope of a comeback, Leader Kolb, is not much. Put another way, it's doubtful we're going to see you as Speaker Kolb.
Well, there's not in my lifetime is that going to happen. I don't think I would agree with you. But, you know, I'm the eternal optimist and glass half full sort of guy.
Sure.
But regardless, I don't need to be speaker. We just need to have more members that can provide different votes, different ideas, and pushing back and speaking out on the policies. And we do make a difference, even though we're in the minority. We wouldn't have a property tax cap in the state that people love. That started with the Assembly Republican Conference, capping costs to counties across the state on Medicaid. That was an Assembly Republican idea. The restoration of money for money that was taken away by Governor Cuomo and Assembly Democrats on the developmentally disabled several years ago was reinstated based on our public outrage and voices on the floor debate. So those are just a couple quick examples where we do make a difference, even being the numbers that we are. Having more numbers and members and votes does have an impact on state policy. And that's really what we're talking about.
You think anybody's ever going to say thank you?
Well, you know, what's the old saying? It's not important who gets credit. It's just hopefully that things get done. And you really just have to take self-pride in trying to do the best job possible, and that's what we do. And that's just – it goes without saying. It is what it is.
Well, being a twin, I can tell you, it's always mattered to me who gets the credit. But anyway, but I do want to ask you, Brian, if I may. You've got a little bit of a piece of locks around your neck, and that is the President of the United States. I'm just making that as a declarative sentence. So here's my question to you. And this is what we define as an honesty question, all right? Honesty question means, you know, if you lie or if you misstate what you're really feeling, a lightning bolt comes out of the sky and hits you in the head. Okay, so be careful here.
Okay, I'm ready.
You're sitting around the table, the dinner table with your family. Do you ever, you know, feel critical about some stupid thing that the president has said that day?
Of course. You know, there's things that with my family that will say things that I don't agree with or something stupid or ridiculous, and I'll say have the same conversation with my family as I would about myself or the president of the United States. But he is not me. I am not him. And the same thing with the Republicans in the Assembly or the Senate. We are here in Albany. We are not in Washington. And things that he does or says that we agree with, I would support. And if there's things that he doesn't or says or does that I don't agree with, then I would absolutely say so. So I'm not afraid to disagree with anybody, quite frankly, and including the most important person I want to make sure I try to keep happy is my wife, is my number one priority.
I would agree with that.
After that, it's all a moot point.
Well, no question. So I guess there are people in your own party who are getting frustrated. And every once in a while you hear from one of them, they want to do something like get another leader. I want to be leader. It's my turn. I could do better than Kolb can. How do you ward those sharks off?
Well, first and foremost, I have the most, I believe, we have a very open conference. You can bring up any gripes or complaints directly to me or in conference with our members. Quite frankly, every 2 years that I've been running for leader, there's an opportunity for someone else to put their hat in the ring and go and talk to the members and secure your votes, because that's what you have to do. Every 2 years that I've been seeking to be leader of our conference, I pick up the telephone and call every single member and ask for their support. And that's their opportunity to say, no, I can't. I got better ideas or a better plan. Hey, go for it. But take your message. If I can't fix what ails them, then, they can bring it up in conference and away we have it. So I'm not concerned about that at all. And my view is, if you don't have the guts or the courage to talk to me face to face about issues or things that you think we should do differently, then I basically discount it, because, it's a tough business and there's always critics, Alan, in anything we do. People could agree with you 98% of the time, but all of a sudden you do one thing or make one vote or not do something, people are going to not be happy with you. That's just the name of the business that we're in. And, so it's, I got big shoulders and thick skin and willing to take any and all critics.
Is the New York State Republican Party still the party of Rockefeller and Lincoln, maybe?
Oh, I don't know if you can use labels in terms of identifying with anybody in particular, whether it's Rockefeller or Abraham Lincoln. I think, my viewpoint, the basic tenets of the party have always been, less government, fiscal sanity, law and order approach to public policy. Certainly, I think that that's never changed in our party. Abraham Lincoln, over 150 years ago, abolished slavery, and he was a Republican. But do you ever hear any Democrats talking about the fact that slavery was abolished by a Republican? No, it's a whole different narrative. So, I think that the tough thing is, I don't think in today's media world, and I'm talking about nationally now, that there's a real fairness in vetting what a Republican candidate versus a Democrat candidate really stand for on issues and on policy without demonizing the other side. And I think, even in state politics and state policy, the state press pays attention to the two majorities and the governor versus, well, what's your thought, Mr. or Ms. Minority person, about what you think about these things, and then print it, put it in print, and then let the public decide which makes more sense to them. But they don't do that. They don't do that national or state level.
Okay, let's try some of that right now. SALT, the deduction of state and local taxes. Governor Cuomo is making a huge point about this. He went down to Washington to speak with President Trump, and he thinks it's killing New York and California and the other blue states, and he thinks it was done on purpose. He's told me that himself. So the question to you, Leader Kolb, is he right?
Well, no, I don't think he's right. Was it done on purpose? No. Do I think that it's had an impact on people that have high incomes in New York State? Absolutely. Do I think we should have done, or the federal government should have done, a $10,000 cap? The answer is no. I think it should have been much higher, but then maybe do a phase-out period so people can plan accordingly. But, you know, depending upon at what moment you catch Andrew Cuomo talking, he talks out of both sides of his mouth on this issue. Because he'll say, you know, New York State has, you know, we have high taxes. Well, no kidding, Sherlock, which is what the real problem is. And that's, you know, that has nothing to do with Washington, D.C. In the SALT cap pertains to all the taxpayers that are filing their federal tax return, has nothing to do with their state tax return. And certainly anyone that has local and state taxes that they deduct, itemized under $10,000, their tax levy did not go up. For those that the cap applies to, simply put, that means that they can't deduct as much money as they could have before this went into place. And so the only thing I would agree with Governor Cuomo is that I think it could have been done differently, because I don't agree with a $10,000 level. But on the flip side, what has he done to reduce the tax burden in this state?
Brian, he would argue that he has a 2.5% limit on how much you can raise taxes and that nobody had done that before.
Well, what I can tell you this is that some of that is a shell game when it pertains to his budget. When he says the spending cap at 2%, you know, he has done off-budget maneuvers that basically is now, you know, you move it to the left hand and it doesn't show on the right hand, and you said, well, you spent less. The bottom line is, look at our state budgets. They've grown every year. Look at the fact that over a million people have left this state.
Stop right there. People leaving the state. So that's exactly his point. If the taxes are too onerous, people will get out of here.
What they're doing.
You say it's his fault. He says it's the president's fault for the deductibility of state and local taxes.
No, and it's not the president's fault. That's what I'm disagreeing with. It's state government's fault that people are leaving the state. People are moving to wherever they're going to move to for less tax burdens, less onerous regulatory environment, shall we say, not such a liberal social policy that they got to be exposed to every single day. And that's why people are leaving. And, you know, certainly one of the things that accelerated Governor Cuomo's push to go visit Washington, which I find ironic he's doing it now versus over a year ago or whenever he should have gone down there, a year and a half, is because the millionaires are saying enough is enough. And then you got the other spend and tax lunatic that's running New York City, Bill de Blasio. And I don't even understand how people can live in New York City with the high tax burden that exists.
You don't really think he's a lunatic, do you?
When it comes to tax and spend, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good. Stop right there. Now, running through the legislature, the Child Victims Act, the Reproductive Health Act, voting reforms, gun control, red flag bill, gun control. What do you think? You know, is it too much too soon?
Well, I think you have to take them individually. You know, I voted for the Child Victims Act. You know, I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. When you talk about when they're saying the abortion bill that we did, the Reproductive Health Act, that was they've been trying to sell this as all it does is codify Roe v. Wade. Absolutely not true. Total lie. It expanded the ability to have abortion in the trimester term with very, very little, if any, guidelines of what distinguishes a woman's health being at risk. And I've had Democrat women, pro-choice women, in my district and across the state say they've gone too far. And it's the spin that constantly goes in that gets people riled up when you're just saying, oh, no, all we did was codify Roe v. Wade, and that's just in case Washington overturns Roe v. Wade.
Okay, we're running out of time. We're running out of time, Brian. I want to ask you real quickly. I'm sorry for being rude, but I want to get as much in as possible. Voting reform, you know, early voting, that kind of thing. Is that a bad thing?
Early voting is not a bad thing as long as it doesn't favor one political party over another. And also early voting, who's paying for it? So is this another state mandate that's put on local governments to provide for early voting? And that's really the whole question mark. You want to have as many legitimate people voting as possible. But the way that the state legislature does things, especially this one, and the two majorities, they try to stack the deck in their favor. And
okay,
that is what issue is.
Okay, how are you getting along with Speaker Hastie? Unfortunately, I've given him a nickname, Boss Hastie, because he used to be boss of the Bronx, and now he's boss of the legislature. I'm wondering, you know, do you have to approach him on your knees?
Absolutely not. I knew Carl and had a relationship with Carl, or Speaker Hastie, before he became Speaker. We've always gotten along. We respect each other professionally. And we also understand we both have our own jobs to do, and that's what we do.
Okay.
We disagree on the issues, but I respect him.
That's good. Okay. Ed Cox, under fire, I have to say he's my friend, but that doesn't matter, who is under fire as the head of your party. Should he be replaced?
Well, that's up to the – I can't say that because I'm not a member of the state committee that gets to vote.
It sounds like a yes to me.
Well, no, I'm going to acknowledge to you that there's people that are not happy with the fact that we lost all four statewide elections. Across the state, there are people, committee people, that and committee chairs are disgruntled. He's got to answer that bell, not me. I've got my own issues to worry about my job.
I like it. Okay, the pay commission. Many legislators want to be able to earn money on the outside to buy the deal. Everybody had to say yes because the so-called controllers commission said no more than 15% on the outside. Now there's a couple of law cases. What do you make of it in a sentence or two?
They're wrong. That commission had no business setting any limits on outside income. Their focus should have been just on the pay raise or not. You can't discriminate against people that have outside income. I just think that was a bridge too far for them.
Okay, Leader Kolb, what about marijuana? Should we be smoking marijuana in New York State?
Well, there's a lot of people that favor it, Alan. I've done unscientific polls that are in favor of it. But when you talk to law enforcement, addiction counselors, and district attorneys, they think it's a bad idea. And that's what we have to try to sort out. And I think we should not be rushing to push this through in 2019. There's just too much at stake.
Well, the governor says all New Jersey and Massachusetts and Connecticut are going to get all the money, all the tax money. What do you make of that?
Well, good for them. I'm more worried about our citizens and public health and public safety.
Well, I hope that you'll continue to prosper and to be well and to come on the Capital Connection, because we always love it when you're here. It's very big of you to do it. We try to ask the tough questions, but you always have tough answers. Thanks for doing it. Appreciate it. Leader
always,
Brian Kolb.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Thank you.
We're out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb. Again, Brian, thanks so much for joining us, and we really appreciate it because we needed you to be here to express the Republican side of things. Thanks again.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.